liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Glenn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And right off the bat today, I'd like to recognize our radio stations. We appreciate each and every opportunity that we have to be on the radio. We realize that would not be possible without the stations. And we are live on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, North Carolina. This was our home station. And then we are on 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. And then on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And so we appreciate the opportunity to be on these radio stations. And if you are listening locally in the Boone, North Carolina area, you're invited to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. We are located just a few miles outside of Boone, North Carolina, on Highway 105 South. I believe you'd be about 3 miles outside of the city limits on 105 South, and you take a right on Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. Very easy to find, and we have at 10 a.m. on Sunday school for all ages, then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m., and we also have more information. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and so we'd love for you to go there, and we have service times and archived radio broadcasts, sermons, information about the church. So lots of opportunity there, and if you're looking for a church home or maybe new to the area, we'd love for you to come and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You'll have to excuse my voice today, as we are, like a lot of people, battling with this head cold stuff. And so we're just going to make our way through it the best that we can, and we appreciate your patience there. But last week, we began a study on the subject of the United States Constitution. We're going to continue on with that thought today. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the United States Constitution, some things about that, some specifics we want to get into about the Constitution. We're not going to go line by line. We don't have the time to do that. And in 30 minutes, that's hard to really, really do that. But we're going to hit some highlights and talk about some things. I believe we need a greater understanding of our foundations in this country. Many people are not familiar with our foundation in America, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, our great Christian heritage, all of these things. We talk about that from week to week, most of the time here on the Blessings of Liberty. Now, I talked about the news. I've been comparing this to the news for the past couple of weeks. And this week, I mean, it's amazing what we might say newsworthy. You get up in the morning and what's the news channels talking about? Well, they've been talking about the Grammys that were on Sunday night. Now, I'll be honest, I do not watch the Grammys, and you couldn't really even pay me to watch the Grammys, but I noticed that the Grammys were in the news, and even some mainline news sites were talking about, really boils down to this, how evil they were. And there was some talk about that, I believe it was Katy Perry, and that almost performed, or maybe was emulating, I guess would be a good way to put it, a ceremony involving witchcraft. And like I said, I didn't see it. I saw some pictures, and it certainly looked like that, and a lot of things like that. But it's amazing to me what passes for news. And then there's a lot of talk about the Super Bowl coming up this coming weekend, the game, all the commercials. I mean, this is what the news
is talking about. And I believe one of our great problems in America is we're consumed with unimportant things. Unimportant things like the Grammys or what's going on in Hollywood or the sports world. These are really very temporary, superficial things that people, they follow. And it's served up as news when really it's just entertainment. It's things that are just, I don't know any other way to put it, but just really unimportant. But we're ignorant of the really important things, the eternal things, spiritual things, things concerning the Bible, things concerning our government, which affects all of us in our society, the Constitution, whether or not it's being followed as the supreme law of the land, which we will get into that. That is what it is. And that is what it says in the United States Constitution, that this is to be the supreme law of the land. Everybody's to follow it, from the president and the Supreme Court right on down. I woke up this morning, I was looking at the news, and big news came out. They're talking about the State of the Union Address coming up. And all of a sudden, they'd changed their direction overnight, the White House had. And the news was that Mr. Obama was going to raise the minimum wage in our country. And they were talking about that. And I thought to myself, the question ought to be, does he even have the authority to do that? I think not. If we look at our Constitution, if we were to follow the Constitution, of course, if you really keep up with what's going on in our country, the White House has implemented many things over the past several years that really they have no constitutional authority to do, such as committing our troops to war, committing everybody in America to a health care system that they must pay into and be involved in, or they will get a penalty on top of that. Very unconstitutional. But boy, how we've got away from our foundation. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, standing in the ways and seeing, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Boy, if we could get back to the old paths, we'd be much better off. Well, I would just want to reiterate a few things from the end of last week's radio broadcast. We were running out of time, and I quickly went through some things, and I want to go back over just a few of the things that I said at the close of last week's radio broadcast. There are seven constitutional institutions, and I'm going to go over those very quickly. Number one, there is we the people. We the people, these are institutions recognized in the United States Constitution. Number one, there's we the people. Number two, there is the militia. Number three, there is the states. These are mentioned, referred to over and over in the Constitution. There is the United States. So there's the individual states, but then there's the United States, all the states together. There's Congress, there's the president, and then number seven, there is the Supreme Court. Now, these are listed in order of importance. Number one, most important, we the people. The last is the president and the Supreme Court. Well, we've got everything turned upside down. You'd think today that the most important authority in the land is the Supreme Court and the president. Or really, the president thinks it's the president and then everybody else underneath him. But that is not the way that our Constitution was set up. All right, the first thing that is mentioned in the Constitution is we the people begins. And so we're going to look at that. I said last week that the sovereignty of the people is final. And what we mean when we say that is that the power is in the people. This is the way our government was set up, that the power would be in the people. And the case was made for that in the Declaration of Independence. Now, it says in the Declaration of Independence, second paragraph, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And here's where it says, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. This is the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. So they, the people, we, the people, they authorized themselves the right to abolish their present form of government, which was their allegiance to Britain and to King George. What did they base this authority upon? If we read the paragraph carefully there, the right to do that did not come from King George. It came from, and they specifically said, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these was the power to abolish governmental ties. That is exactly what they did, and set forth the reasons for that in the Declaration of Independence. So they did that very thing. They set up a new government. Now, of course, we've got the American Revolutionary War. We've got a war with Britain. We've got several years after the Declaration of Independence that this was finally implemented. Of course, if you know your American history, you know that, first of all, we had, instead of a constitution, we had the Articles of Federation. Now, under the Articles of Federation, it did not take them long to find out that actually the federal government had very little to no power, and all the power had been retained in the states. And really, they couldn't get together and do anything. They're having a very hard time. And they realized, you know, this is not going to work. We need to come back together, and we need to work on this again. Actually, they were going to redo the Articles of Confederation during the summer of 1787. 55 delegates from the different states came together in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and starting to work on the Articles of Federation. But they ended up with the United States Constitution. If you notice there, from 1776 to 1787, that's 11 years had passed. The American Revolutionary War. So a lot of time has gone by. Yet they still come back to this idea of we the people. They did not leave what they intended to do when they set it forth in the Declaration of Independence. All this time goes by. There's a war has been fought. A lot of things can change in 11 years, but they come right back. The first thing they tried didn't work, but they come back and they still retain this all-important foundational idea that this is to be a government of the people, by the people, we the people. We have the power. We have the authority. We have lost that truth in America in 2014. We put all the power into it. We allow them and do just whatever in any old thing, and the people are continually trampled over in what they desire to see done. And so they stuck with this idea of we the people. And there's been a lot of debate over the years where these, and some of them even at that time called them new ideas. Where did they come from? They called it the Great Experiment. This has never been done before in the history of the world. Now, years after the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to Henry Lee. Henry Lee was the father of Robert E. Lee, or the grandfather. I have to go back and look at that, but he was either the grandfather or the father of Robert E. Lee. And Thomas Jefferson was writing a letter to him. He was talking about the Declaration of Independence. And he said in that letter, and I went back and I read it again this morning, that the Declaration of Independence was not a new expression that had never been expressed before, but he said, or new principles that had never been thought of before. But he said in that letter that the Declaration of Independence was an expression of the American mind. This is how people began. Where does come from that time? All previous power had been invested in the kings, the aristocracy. Never had this been tried before, that the people would have the ultimate authority and the power of the government would be invested not in a king, not in an aristocracy, but in the people. And the people would have a representative form of government. But Thomas Jefferson, that didn't come out of his mind. And he said it was a multitude of ideas coming together. But where did that come from? I have a book, and it's called The Framing of the Federal Constitution. And it was produced in 1986. By the National Park Service. And evidently years ago, the National Park Service put out a series of books that just had to do with our national park system. And so history books. And this is a very interesting book, very well done. Lots of good information in it. It's a pretty short book. And I do not know if you could find it today, but it's about 110 pages, something like that. But there's a section in it. Or the whole thing is about the Constitution, but there's a section in it called Sources of the Constitution. And so where did it come from? This is the book is addressing this. The Constitution was a product of the Age of Enlightenment, that movement of liberalism and rationality that saw a more humane basis for life. And when it says liberalism there, it's referring to what is called classical liberalism. And classical liberalism, it's not like when we think about being a liberal today, but classical liberalism was to take the authority away from the government and put it into the hands of the people. And that's what classical liberalism, that's a short definition of that, but sought a more humane basis for life. It drew on the learning and experience of both classical and modern times. Like most educated persons of the day, the framers had read the works of such ancient thinkers as Polybius, Aristotle, and Plutarch, and such moderns as James, Harrington, John Locke, David Hume, and the French philosopher Montesquieu. Madison, Hamilton, Wilson, and many others knew the arguments of these writers for a written constitution. The distribution of powers between the branch contract, an independent judiciary, and a government resting on the consent of the governed matters we take for granted today. So this book put out by the National Park Service says sources of the Constitution were from the enlightened thinkers, Polybius, Aristotle, David Hume, John Locke. It mentioned several in the book there. But as I read back over that, and there's a couple of pages, I didn't read all of it, but they fail to mention that there were already examples of self-government in the colonies at that time. There were already examples in the different colonies of different groups of people that had set out to have a government that was by the people, for the people, or like it says in the Constitution, we the people. Now, particularly, there is the colony of Rhode Island. And the colony of Rhode Island, and of course the founder there was Roger Williams, and he founded a place called Providence. Providence, that's a wonderful name, as we might talk about the providence of God. Do you know that's why he named Rhode Island, or the city there, Providence, because he felt that he was there by the providence of God. And Roger Williams was a dedicated Christian. He was he's a very interesting character to study after. But in August of 1638, the inhabitants of Providence came together and they agreed upon what is called the Providence Compact. This was in August of 1638. Now, Roger Williams, he fought for, and he was actually banished from Massachusetts for his preaching and for his way of thinking. And so they kicked him out into the wilderness, I guess hoping he would go out there and not make it and end up dead. Of course, he didn't do that. The good Lord watched after him, but they came together in Providence and established the Providence Compact. This was the first American political document that promoted government by the consent of the governed and liberty of conscience. I want to read a portion of the Providence Compact. Now remember, this is 1638. Roger Williams, a Christian, he is fighting for liberty of conscience, freedom to govern themselves, not be lorded over by Britain. So they said, "We, whose names are underwritten, being desirous to inhabit in the town of Providence, do promise and submit ourselves in active or passive obedience to all such orders or agreements as shall be made for public good of the body in an orderly way." And notice what it says, "by the major consent of the present inhabitants." You know what that's saying there is by the consent of the governed. Is what that is the same thought. Matter of families incorporated together in a township, and such others whom they shall admit unto the same only in civil things. This was not a state church association. This was only in civil things, and the power of government was in the hands of the people. This was already in place in America over 100 years before the Declaration of Independence. Now, that's August of 1638. Let me give another example that was already in place in America before the Declaration of Independence. In March of 1638, so we've gone from August 1638, even before that, in March of 1638, a Baptist preacher named John Clark. John Clark established the first Baptist church in America, also in the colony of Rhode Island. Now, John Clark and Roger Williams were contemporaries. They knew each other. John Clark was also kicked out of Boston, Massachusetts, banished into the wilderness with his small congregation there because they were not of the standing order, the state church at that time. So Roger Williams, through contacts there, he invited them to come to Rhode Island. They came to a place called Portsmouth, and it's called the Portsmouth Compact. There is still a marker there today that has the Portsmouth Compact up on it. And I want to read just a little bit from the Portsmouth Compact. What they said, "We whose names are underwritten do here solemnly in the presence of Jehovah incorporate ourselves into a body politic." So all the people incorporated themselves as the government. We all come together, we the people. That is what that is saying. "And as he shall help, we'll submit our persons, lives, and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and to all those perfect and most absolute laws of his given us in his holy word of truth to be guided and judged." "To be guided and judged thereby." Pardon me. And he has the names of those who came together to sign the Portsmouth Compact. How interesting that is. That is the first written government document declaring liberty of conscience for all of his citizens. And they incorporated themselves as a body politic, meaning we the people. The authority of the government was invested in the people. So where did the idea? We're still talking about the very first sentence in the preamble to the United States Constitution, which begins, "We the people." That's what it says. Where did this idea, this grand and glorious idea of a government by the people for the people, come from? that in our Constitution, it would be so important that it would begin by saying, we, the people of the United States. So we're coming together. Where did that idea come from? The idea of a government by the people is not so much a product of the Age of Enlightenment. And I don't have time to get into all of that, but that's what your secular history is going to promote, that this was this come out of the minds of the Enlightenment thinkers. That's what you're going to learn in your secular history books, in your public school systems. But it was not so much an idea of the Enlightenment thinkers as it is the product of Christian people. As we gave examples, the Portsmouth Compact, the Providence Compact, and we could even go back to the Mayflower Compact when the Pilgrims came over here, the first ones to come, and they set up for their form of government the Mayflower Compact. So it wasn't so much the Enlightenment thinkers as it was the product of Christian people who loved God and know what the Bible says. The Enlightenment thinkers caught up to the message that God's people had been preaching and proclaiming for over 1,700 years up to that time. And that is simply this: when the Apostle Peter had been arrested by the governmental authorities and threatened and told not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus anymore, and they threatened him and they let him go and they said, don't do it again. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter responded with this statement. He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. My first allegiance comes to God. He's the one I answer to. He comes before any governmental authority. We ought to obey God rather than men. And I have a theory about why our nation is under attack as never before, and why so many people in places of leadership are so antagonistic towards what I would say the good things, the things of God, the Bible. The Bible is under attack. Christian standards, the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution is under attack. The First and Second Amendment are under attack. Freedom is under attack. Civil liberties are under attack. Every day there's news about your government spying upon you. They say, the NSA is not spying upon American citizens, just those that are under suspicion. Well, how in the world would you know who's under suspicion unless you looked at everybody? There's no way to know. You'd have to look at everybody. They are looking at everybody. Well, the reason why we're such, the all these things are under attack is because they all came from the same source. Preacher, can you prove that? I do it every week before Aristotle and John Locke and Polybus. The Lord said this, Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. God said it first. What a blessing. Noah's going to come, give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.